So we're talking about the journey, and since it's not too far away for Valentine's Day, that's a wee reminder for some of you men out there. It's not too far from Valentine's Day, and so I thought I would tell you a wee heartwarming story. Is that okay? Yep, okay, here we go. So there was an elderly husband, and he was lying in hospital, and he was looking over at his wife, and he just started to reminisce a little bit, and he said to her, you know, says, do you remember the day that we first met? He said, I'd been walking down the street, I fell and broke my arm, and you were there. He says, yes, I do, I remember that. He says, and do you remember whenever we got married, and do you know our honeymoon? We went on honeymoon, and the car broke down on the way to Port Rush, and we ended up having to stay in your mum's house. You were there. He says, yeah, I was there. And he says, and do you remember our first dog? Do you remember could run over and had to get it put down, and do you know, real sad moment, but you were there. Yeah, I was there. He says, in that time, love, whenever the house burnt down and we lost all our photographs and all of our keepsakes, you were there. He says, yeah, I was there. Do you remember that time I had to get my knee replaced? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you were there. Yeah, I was there. He says, remember that time I went out to the restaurant and I got food poisoning? He says, yeah, I remember that. He says, you were there? He says, yeah, I was there. And he says, now I'm lying sick in hospital, and here you are. He says, I've had time to think about this. He says, do you know the one thing that I've realized? He says, what's that? He says, you're awful bad luck. Anyway. Over these REACH services. Sorry, I had to break the mood a wee bit, didn't I? Okay, over these REACH services, we are looking at this idea of the journey and the ups and the downs and the struggles that there can be within life. And just for a couple of moments, I want to talk a little bit about that journey and some aspects of it, because I believe that we get to love and live out this journey with the ups and downs. And I believe that it can make an absolute massive difference if God is in the journey with us. Jesus told us story of two people, and these two people, they both built houses, and it was beautiful and it was amazing. These houses were excellent, and yet for both of them, they both faced storms. They both faced things that come into life, difficulties, trials, struggles. They both faced the same thing, but I'm sure you know what story I'm talking about. And one of them had built his life upon and around Jesus. And so Jesus likened that to someone who built his house on a rock. And whenever the wind came and the storm and the rains came, that the house still stood. But then he talked about the person who built their house upon the sand. And it looked as beautiful. It was scenic. It was absolutely amazing. And on the good days, it looked no different. But when the rains came and the storm came, then the house fell. And didn't last. And Jesus is trying to remind us, and he's trying to tell us to do journey and the journey of life with him. And doing the journey of life makes a difference when we do it with God. And I want to share a story of a lady, and we're not going to be too long this morning, but a story of a lady in the Bible who really, a part of her difficult journey, she encountered God. And I want us to learn just a couple of things from that. So Beth, if you wouldn't mind coming, and Beth's going to read part of this lady's story, and then I'm just going to unpack it for the next 15 minutes. Thanks, Beth.
Genesis 16, Hagar and Ishmael. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You're responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Lahai-Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael.
Yeah, thank you. So this is probably a story. I mean, I'm listening to it again. I've read it obviously quite a number of times this week. And it's something that wouldn't be out of place in EastEnders or Emmerdale. Okay, it's full of intrigue. It's full of cultural things that we maybe don't fully understand. But it's also full of hurt and disappointment and struggle and misunderstandings and life, things that happen to us in life. And this is part of this woman's life, this girl's life. She started out as a slave, and then she gets asked to become a surrogate mother, and she gets pregnant and really starts to herself be the cause of some of her own problems, because she starts to despise Sarah, and she's thinking all this, and then Sarah starts to hate her, and she gets on Abraham's case, and Abraham kind of puts his hands up and goes, oh, don't have anything to do with me. And so there's a lot of stuff going on here that's really quite heartbreaking. And I really want us to view this story from Hagar's perspective and to have a look at this poor girl's life and this moment that she has in this journey of life, and what we can learn from how God encounters her. So I just want us to learn a couple of things. There's loads of things in this text, but I want us to learn three things, and we'll go through this. So the things that we can learn from Hagar's story is this, that in the journey of life, you are seen. So firstly, you are seen. She's been mistreated by Abraham and by Sarah. She's not been viewed as important. It's kind of, she's been cast aside. She's been overlooked. She's faced suffering, hurt, injustice. And so she gets to the point where she says, I can't take anymore. And she runs away. Do you ever feel like that? Now, you probably not nod your head, but most of us, and if you haven't felt like that, you probably will at some stage, felt like, I just want to run away. I just can't take this anymore. And she gets to this point where she just thinks, I cannot take this anymore. And she tries to escape the circumstance, the situation that she's in. Things have got so difficult for her. And it's in this moment that she encounters God. And after this encounter with God, and for me, this is one of the most beautiful moments in Scripture itself. This moment where she sees the God who sees her. She talks about God seeing her. God seen me. She was seen. She was noticed. It's really powerful. The God who sees me. For me, it's really powerful. From being someone who's been overlooked, mistreated, injustice towards you, hurt, feeling in life that you just need to escape and get out of there. And yet she realizes in this moment that God sees her. That God notices her. To be seen is so important. Isn't that right? To be noticed. Conversely, to not be seen can be quite hurtful. I don't know whether you've ever had one of those embarrassing moments, one of those moments in life where you weren't seen, where somebody overlooked you. So I was in this minister's meeting one time, and we were all there. I was not long into the whole minister's thing, and I was there. And this minister, who had known me for years, in fact, had been quite important in my journey. And he came over, and I was sitting in this booth, and he came over, and I kind of, do you ever do the wee thing? Oh, how you doing? And you're all, and I put my hand out, and he went right past me. And shook the guy beside me, shook his hand and walked away. And I'm kind of standing there like. Now I kind of went, you know, one of those ones. But I remember how hurt that made me feel. I remember how insignificant it made me feel, how overlooked it made me feel. Conversely, and on the other side, I remember being at a different conference, and with being involved in Wondrous, you get to meet some of the speakers and you get to chat to them and things like that. And I remember being in this other conference, and one of these top headline speakers actually came over to me and went, "Hi, Alistair, how's it going?" And I remember thinking, my goodness, you remembered my name, not just my face. And it kind of, it perked you up a wee bit, like, oh, that's really good. I know I'm sad, right? But think about the difference there. So think about that in terms of not just this person, but God sees. That God pays attention. That God notices her in the midst of what she's going through. Sometimes we have this view of God, so many other things to worry about. You know, worrying about America and worrying about Iran and Saudi Arabia and Syria. But today you need to know this, that whatever it is that you're going through, God sees you. God sees you. He knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your life. He's intimately aware of what's going on in your life. And you see, this is a pattern that runs throughout Scripture where God sees the people who don't expect to be seen. There's a guy called Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And I know we don't like tax collectors in our day. We actually had to do our tax returns last week, and it's always wick filling that in. But in those days, like the tax collectors, they were corrupt. They were thieves, a lot of them, and they really poured more oppression and injustice upon the people. So people didn't like Zacchaeus at all. And yet Zacchaeus, this small guy, is hiding up a sycamore tree, just trying to listen into what Jesus is saying. Everybody else wants him ignored. Everybody else hates him. But Jesus sees him. And Jesus goes over to him, encounters him, and changes his life. There's another lady who's at a well. She's at a well mid-afternoon. And again, whenever we know the culture, she's in the heat of the day. She's there because she's avoiding everybody else. She's become a pariah to her society. She's become someone who's an outcast because of the life that she's lived. We later find out that she's had five husbands. The one that she's with isn't her husband. She's gone from man to man, trying to find something in life, trying to get something out of life and not being satisfied with what life is handing her. She's gone on this wrong journey for so long. She's an outcast, and yet Jesus meets her at the well and he changes her life. He sees her. He sees what's going on in her life and he sees what she needs. Can I just tell you this morning, Jesus sees you. He sees what you're going through. He sees what's going on in your circumstance and in your life. He sees you. The second thing that I want you to realize this morning is that you are not alone. Cue Michael Jackson song. Okay, but you are not alone. If that stays in your head all day, I am perfectly happy for that to stay, because you need to remember you are not alone. You're not alone. The angel of the Lord came down to this girl. Like the angel of the Lord, that's Old Testament speak for saying that was God himself. God himself came and met with this girl, Hagar, in the midst of her difficulty, in the midst of her trial. On this journey, God shows up. And on this occasion, God comes and he gives her guidance and wisdom. Here's what to do next. And you know, whenever we do the journey with God, he comes near, and he helps us even in those most difficult times. Beth talked about how God spoke peace into her life, how God gave her guidance, how God helped her and changed her perspective and changed how she would live out the rest of her days. And this happened for Hagar, that God came, he gave her guidance and wisdom. He showed her what the next step was. And you know, God wants to come in the midst of whatever we go through, in the midst of those real difficult moments and times. God comes, and at times he comes to bring guidance and wisdom. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times God has come and just allowed me to get some wisdom on something or get some guidance. You just don't know where to turn or what to do, and he gives you the answer, whether you're reading the word or somebody comes and says, just feel God saying this to you. Because God comes and he gives us guidance, he gives us wisdom, he gives us help, whatever it is that you're going through, because you're not alone. And if even you feel like you're alone, he will guide you and direct you. Sometimes he comes and he gives us peace. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Isaiah 26 verse 3, and it says, "He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast and trusts in you." And there are times that God comes. In Philippians chapter 4, it talks about a peace that passes understanding. And whenever we know that we're not going through the trials and the circumstances of life on our own, there's just something that happens whenever we acknowledge the presence of God in our lives, and he brings peace. And it passes understanding, because sometimes the stuff around us hasn't changed, but he's allowing us to know you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And he gives us peace that we don't understand. Why am I feeling so peaceful? Why am I feeling like that? It's because we're not alone. We're not alone. God is with us in the midst of it. We are not alone. I have a lovely story. Forgive me if I've ever shared this before, but I love sharing this. And it's a story of a football team in Australia. And this football or soccer team in Australia, they had been pretty rubbish and they had very few supporters until this billionaire came along and bought them over. Sounds familiar? Man City, Chelsea, anybody? No? Okay. But they weren't that great. And this billionaire came and bought them and they started to buy a better coach and they bought better players and they bought all this and they bought a bit of success again. Sound familiar? No. Okay. And they had all this success. Those of you who don't know much about football, you're like, what is he on about? Don't worry. But they bought all this success and they were in this, what the equivalent was to the FA Cup final. And the place is filled with tens of thousands of people, millions of people watching on TV, and all these people with their new, you know, soccer jerseys on, supporting this team. Some of them only heard about them in the last year, you know, and they were cheering them on anyway. And the camera was panning around this crowd, and the camera stopped on this one older guy, and this older guy was just holding up this placard, and it just says, "I was here when no one else was." Well, can I just tell you today, God holds that same placard up in your life. I was here when no one else was. Do you know what? There's sometimes in life it's a fanfare and there's loads of people about. But there are other times when you put your head in the pillow and you feel all alone. Can I tell you something? God wants to hold that placard up in your life and say, I'll be there. You are not alone. You are not alone. My third point is this. That we get from this story, you have a future. So God comes, he encounters this girl, and the difference of God being on the journey, said to her that you're seen, you're not alone, and you have a future. So God comes and he promises her, you're with child, you're going to have this baby, here's my promise over this child, here's my promise for you, here's what's going to happen in your life. You've got a future. And God comes. And in this journey in life, we know that we have a future. Jeremiah 29:11. We just love that. Many of us who have been walking this road of walking with God for quite a while, this scripture is very important to us. And we remind ourselves of it. And it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And they're plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm or hurt you." God's plans are to prosper us and to bless us and to give us a future. Do you know something? God created every single one of us with a purpose. God created every single one of us because he has a plan for our lives. There are absolutely zero, no mistakes that God has made. If you are living, if you are breathing, if your heart is beating right now, God has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for your life. He has something that he created you for. And he longs to see that coming into fruition. God has a future for you. And some of you need to know that this morning. And some of you need to know that whatever it is that you're going through at this moment in time, that's not your destination. But there's a future for you. There's something beyond. There is more. There is hope. There is something beyond. But I want to also widen our perspective because as Christians, we don't just believe in the here and now. And the Bible doesn't talk just to us about the here and now because, do you know, on this journey of life, sometimes the journey can take unexpected endings. The journey can be incredibly difficult. But here's what we're promised in God's word, is that you have a future. Not just in the here and now, but forever and eternity. We're promised a future. Do you know, I was just thinking about this week. My older sister's training. She wants to run the marathon to raise money for Alzheimer's. Now, forgive me if I get a bit emotional here, okay? But she phoned me the other day. Alice and I are doing Weight Watchers. We're trying to lose a wee bit of weight. And I was in, our scales are broke. Now, don't be laughing, okay? It wasn't me that broke them, okay? It wasn't Alice either, right? So I was going to Argos to try and get this. So I was walking in. I just returned a call to my sister. And she was just talking to me. She says, "Right, you know why I'm doing this? I'm going to try and do the marathon. Either a marathon or a half marathon." She says, "I really want to do it." And Steph's got health problems herself. So, you know, for her to do this, it's a big thing for her to do it. And she's really wanting to do it. She says, "I want to do it for Alzheimer's in memory of Myrtle." So those of you who know Myrtle's Alison's mom, she passed away in the summer. And so she's talking away to me about doing this. And she says, "So we've sent Jeff Lucas," because Jeff Lucas lost his mom. He's a Christian preacher. He lost his mom with the same thing about a month after Myrtle went. And They'd sent, and he was actually in Washington having breakfast, about to have breakfast with President Trump. Okay. But he found the time to send a video so that she can put it on the fundraising page, and just looking at the heartache that can be there with Alzheimer's. So she's telling me about all this, and she says, you know, we'd probably, if it was okay, you know, get a picture of Myrtle and run with her on the t-shirt. Well, that was me. Totally unexpected. I'm standing looking at the catalogue in Argos, and I started to cry. And I'm like, oh, flip. And actually, I just had to walk out, so we still don't have scales. So I've been eating for Britain this weekend because it doesn't count. But I was just driving up the road, just crying and just thinking about this thing. Because life does have these really difficult moments in the journey. And I know it's affected Alison. As we're just thinking about that, and it just raises your awareness of all of that struggle that can be there. But you know something that we have gone through? We've lost Alison's mum and dad. And do you know, after her dad passed away, it's probably no mistake, Zach started to kick off there, and she's had to go out to crash. So she's not having to sit and listen to all of this. But whenever we lost her dad, like the moment that we lost him, Alison just looked at me. She says, he's with my granda. We'll see him again. Do you know why? Because God has a future for us. And this life can be so difficult and so tough. And there can be journeys and turns and twists that we don't expect. But the hope of someone that journeys with God is that this is not all there is. See, our hope is that we will see Myrtle again in her right mind, with dignity. And she'll remember and she'll know. And you know, whatever it is that we walk through and whatever it is that we go through, we have this hope that there's a future beyond. And it's not just here and now, but forever in all of eternity. And that's our hope. So, it brings us right back to the story that Jesus told. The story of the wise and the foolish builder. The one who built his life and his journey around Jesus and the one who didn't. If you are building your life around Jesus, if you're journeying with Jesus today, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have been seen. You are seen. You are not alone. And you have a future. Whatever it is you're going through, you're seen today. You're not alone. You have a future. And if you're not journeying with God right now, our prayer and our genuine, heartfelt prayer is that today you would see the God who sees you. That you would see him. That you would realize that his eyes are fixed on you. That you would walk with him and not walk alone. And that you would receive the future that he has for you.